You are listening to a recording from the Stories of Change project, funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council under its Connected Communities programme. This recording comes from research undertaken with communities in the valleys of South Wales. This particular contribution comes from the community of Ynys y Bwl from work undertaken in the summer of 2015.
I can remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, in High Street, where I was born, you know. I was born in High Street, and the old coal fires, you know, you had a little oven on the side and coal halfway up the chimney. And it was nice and warm, but smelly. You know, you had the old coal then, and it was really stinky old stuff, you know. But it's the way you had to put up with it in them days. Like, you know, you didn't have the old smokeless fuels then. It was just, and well, you go on from there. I moved up to, what do you call it, Hill of Clive. Up there now, newer houses, different versions of everything. So it was a lot nicer, you know, the coal same. But of course, everything was different. Your chimneys, everything was different then. And of course, you had a bit more heat, a bit more insulation, I would say, to give you that little bit. And then, as you say, went on from there. Then I went to work at the pit with Ynys y Bwl and started there. It was, you know, only a boy then, and about 15 and a half when I went to the pit. The coal there, you know, oh, it's all sorts of coal there, but if you see now, you get it out from there, oh, comes out like a big, you know, it wasn't an explosion. Like, I thought it was an explosion, but it wasn't. Basically, it was a pounce, they call it, which is like gas behind it. And the fellow that I was working with, he just hit it with a mandrel. And then, boom, and it all come out with a big whoosh, you know. So you clean it up and sort it out after, like, you know. But, yeah, it's fantastic to see it, but it's a lot of work when you're shoveling it. And as I say, you go on then, and I worked in about three or four different places down in the Lady Windsor, you know, before I ended up in the lamp room. I had an accident on my leg, so done my ligaments and my foot. But as I say, it's hard to try and think how you were to how you are now. I mean, like, when I was a kid, remember that the steam train in Ynys y Bwl, you know. I can still remember the steam train. We used to go to Barry on the steam train. He'd pick some people up just down the bottom of here. You know, when you turned up, there's a little lane going down on the bottom there, across the river. It's the New Road Halt, it was called. And you pick people up from New Road on there, and off we'd go. The old steam train chugging away down, you know, everything through the windows. But it was, you know, it's just nice, you know. But as you say, you get in now, and I don't understand this change they got now. Wind terminals. I just don't see any logic in them, I'll be honest with you. The reason being is, if it's a very windy day, they turn them off. Whereas you'd think, the more wind, the better. No, turn them off. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. That's why I think, around the coast, I mean, with that island, for God's sake, why don't they make it with the waves? Which is, to me, an awful lot better than having these things stuck up in the air. I'm not against them. It's just if they work as I think they should work, I'm not a no brain, but if it worked as I think they should work, they'd be excellent. But if you've got to turn them off when it's windy, it don't make any sense at all to me with them. You know.
Yeah, can I take you back to your childhood?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Yeah. So where were you born?
I was born in High Street, in Inisfail.
Yeah. What year was that?
1946.
Okay, and so you said you lived here...
I lived in High Street for, you see, till 1952-53. Uh-huh. And then I moved up then to Hila Plive.
Okay.
Up in, right up by the football field, you know. Mm. We were right by the goal, but we didn't need to pay to go in. You just look out of the bedroom window. Only thing is, you then end up with a rugby ball in the garden. That was the downside of it. But yeah, so it was lovely, you know, when I was a kid. Mm. And I used to go out running about playing. And well, we used to go the right over from where we were was the old ash tip. And you know, everybody goes running and rumbling in an ash tip when you were a kid. Not these days, because they're all big machines running about. But when I was a kid, you always used to go to the ash tip and have a little rumble around, see what you could find, you know. But it was good. It was really good, you know. And you used to play about, you know, like them days, you could go out and spend all day out on your own, you know. No problem at all. These days, you're afraid to let the kids go farther than the streets. And it's annoying to think that you're the same people, you've lived this long, and things, instead of getting better, have got worse. I mean, you, like you say, years ago, you could leave your door open. You can't leave the door open now, not at all. Waste of space, and they have somebody in, gone. I remember a gentleman living by me, oh yeah, years ago, didn't lock his door. Somebody got in there, took his little safe, you know, and that's in the complex.
Do you remember the house that you lived in
High Street? In High Street, yeah. Oh.
What was that like?
Oh, well, there's two families living in there. My auntie and her husband were living in, they were in, let me see now, I've got to get it right. There was five boys and my mother and father, right? It's only a little three-bedroom house. And we had the kitchen to cook in, right? Well, we all used the kitchen to cook in. So we had the front room. That was ours to sort of live in. My auntie was living in the middle room with her husband. And then we had three rooms. We had two rooms upstairs. My auntie had one, and then my mother and father had another, and all of us is in the other one. So you sleep in sort of end to end, you know? Yeah, oh, well, you didn't have a lot of warmth, and did you? Coats and everything on the bed. Yeah, so it's always just a bucket of a thing. But you just have to go through it, you know? You get better as you get older. I think, anyway. But when we went up the other house, then, you had two bedrooms for the boys, so it was a little bit easier, you know. And my brother went to the army, so it was only two in that bedroom, two in.
Mm. And how was, so again, the house on High Street, how was that heated? You said it wasn't very warm.
Oh, that was just a fire in the lounge, you know. And you had a little fire in the front room, and just open fires, you know. But you had the heat there, like I said, but the smell when you lit them, you know, wicked it was. But, and then the toilet up the back end of the garden. Mm. And to go up there now, you had a bit of bloody paper rolled up in the night, right up the path. You heard it on, you know, with these comedians saying, and you think, we went through that. But, you know, people do think, it's a lot of old. But it's true, you know. My father-in-law lived up the Rhondda in Pentra, and he had a three-story house, right? Now, his toilet was down the back end of the garden, right? And that was, I'm talking now, in the 90s, right? Still don't know. I mean, I've been married since 74, I think it was. So me and my brother-in-law asked if he wanted to fetch the toilet up so we could have done it for him, you know, to the basement. Now, one of the old types. We wouldn't believe, but he had a gas light in the front room. Still had the gaslight in the front room. Only three places in the house he had electric light bulb. I remember the wife telling me, she said, we used to go upstairs with a candle, you know, to go to bed. Yeah, oh yeah, wicked, honestly. And you wouldn't think it's possible in the 90s. But that's the way he was, you know. We couldn't get him. He wasn't short of a few, Bob. It's just he wouldn't part with it. You know. It's like getting the blood out of a stone. But, you know, there we are. That's how the old people are, isn't it? I haven't been like that yet. I haven't got that old. I'm getting there, mind. But yes, it's not too bad. Life is a lot better now than it was then.
In what way?
Well, everything's cleaner. There's not so much dust about the place, you know, whether you had with the old coal. Everything was dusty and black and, you know, it's just one big mess, you know. Or you had a black grates and the old grates used to, I know the women used to black them and just to make them look nice, you know. A lot of work, but that's the way they were in them days, wasn't it? You know, it's got to look nice. It's gonna, and dust and everything all over the place. I used to cook on the fire, see, then. You didn't know.
Really?
Yes, if you wanted egg and bacon or something on the fire, you had to level the fire off and you stick him on there in the old frying pan, the old heavy one. Not like we are now. I boil my eggs in my cooker I got now. Don't even use water. In them days, that's all you had, isn't it, you know? What can you do? You got to just go with it. What you got at the time? It's, and they polished in these steps and up the stairs. I remember the wife saying she used to work for this school teacher. And she used to have to polish the stairs, you know, a piece of material going up the middle of the stairs onto the sides then. You had a piece about that much either side. And then she was polishing this, going all the way up the stairs, you know. What do they do now? Everything's covered up. So you have gained a little bit of ground on them days, but, I wouldn't like to go back, but it was nice when it was young, you know. You got to remember how he was, and we used to go all over the place here, up the Glogue, up here, you know. I used to go to the bakehouse, because the people we were living with, my uncle Di, he was not a poacher, he used to have permission to go up and used to rabbit in with his dog and that. And he was friendly with him. Master Willie, he was called up the Glogue then, in the big house up the Glogue. And we used to go up there, used to go down the bakehouse, Matt the bakehouse down in the road there, basket of bread and whatever. Take it up to the farms and, you know. You don't do these things now. You've got to have a bus or a bike or a car or something to go anywhere, haven't you, you know? Well, we used to walk up through the fields. Lovely, you know, to go up rabbiting with him, a bit of everything. But it was nice, you know. You enjoyed them days. These days now, if you can't play it in the house, they don't want to know, kids. And not like I love don't get me wrong. I don't mind a computer, pad or whatever. I leave my phone. But you know, it was great to go out then and play. That's when you enjoyed. That's when you enjoyed yourself, you know. It was a nice time, you know. But these days, as I say, the kids, unless they can take it to their room, they don't want to know, do they? I said to this one of the boys the other day, I said, we used to go out. He said, what did you used to play then? I said, well, you'd go out on the street, you'd cut a piece of stick, you know, about so long, point on it. Another one with two little points in, cat and dog, we used to call it. Give it a tap and give it a bloody wad. And off it'd go, like, and then you chase it. Same thing again. Stupid, I said, but it, you know, it was something to do, wasn't it, you know? Or you run around with a hook and wheel, you know. You wouldn't walk somewhere. You might say, go down the road. You go down the road. I gotta get my hook and wheel. So you're running with hook and wheel rather than walking. It's stupid when you think of it, but this is how we were, you know. And, did you see the change in Ennisable? Oh, God. You know, there'd be loads of shops in Ennisable. They used to say, what's the place we used to call it? Oh, the Meadow Dairy. That was our shop, not like a cop then. The Meadow Dairy, that's where you had all your stuff from. The old butter then, cut to the slab, you know. How much butter do you want? Half a pound, right? Get the wire across, like they do the cheese and all that. But that's the bull pegglers we had and all that. But there's nothing here now. It's all you got is a cop. Or the what they called the pound shop. Well, it's not a pound shop, but there's nothing here, you know. Nothing at all. It's a one-eyed village. What can you do? Everything's going. It's like Ponties. That's another one-eyed joint, isn't it? You know, they're doing things that... Excuse me. They're doing things down there, you know, which I think could be left and do a good part the other side. It's like, I'm not against the YMCA. But they got all this money now to do the YMCA. And you got a derelict site the other side of the road. You know, where's the logic? There's no logic anywhere. And they want you to, you know, throw you a two-penny thing, and you think, well, what's the point? It's only, like Ponty is all, it's charity shops now. And nobody wants to come because there's nothing there. You know, it's not nothing like it used to be. It used to be great in Ponty. You'd have, the market would be full from one end to the other. I know I worked on a stall in the market for a good couple of years, you know, selling bulbs and different things, you know, daffodils, tulips, narcissus, anything. And the fella I worked for, he was a gypsy, he was. But he was a very nice fella, you know, good as gold, you know, and I couldn't do enough for him. He was as good as gold, fair play. But as you say, now you've got nothing there. You're lucky to have three or four stalls going through the market. It just doesn't make sense to it, you know. Everything's gone so far downhill. And I don't know if there's anything they can do about it or if anything they want to do about it. But it's just no... doesn't seem to be any sense to anything. Nobody seems to care these days. He said, not, you know, all across the board, we're all right, Jack. You and
so going back to when you moved house, you talked a little bit about how that was different. Could you tell me a bit more? Because you said you talked about the insulation and how.
Oh yes, well, yeah. As you say, we had a cooker in that one, which was good.
So electric?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, so that's in the new house.
Yeah, well, we couldn't have gas.
Why not?
The reason being is, we were in a street called Isle of Plive. Now, that side now was the recreation ground. Well, down so, at the top of the hill, the gas pipe came up to. The cemetery was the other end. There was a house or two up on the corner up there. Gas pipe was coming to there. But no gas come in down our street. So unless you can have so many doing this, or you paid so much, they wouldn't fetch the gas in. So you had to have electric then. Everybody wanted gas, but you had to have electric because they wouldn't fetch it down, you know. And it was a lovely, lovely place up there. We enjoyed it, you know. But you had a gas electric cooker. And by that time then, you were lucky sometimes if you had a washing machine. Twin tub.
Okay.
Oh yes, I remember them. What would it be before that? Oh, we had the sink and the mangle. Good job, that is. Winding your life away. But I remember then this fella that we used to work for. My brother was a friend of his. And he like I say, he worked all the markets. He said, I got a washing machine there. He said, do you want it? I said, have a washing machine. So this washing, the first day of washing machine up north, it was one of these big, like Thor or something like that, you know, American thing it was. So he said, it'll wash and spin dry. I thought, oh, right, chuck the washing in now. Started washing, lovely. Then it'd spin. But he said it'll do dishes as well. I thought, oh. Well, now we look at it. I put a plate in. Well, it was like the bloody wall of death. It was going round and round now, stuck on the top of the bloody... I thought, you can't put many dishes in that to wash. But, oh, you try all these things, and, you know, when it... That served his purpose for a bit, but he had a big mangle on the top of that, and as well, you know, he'd spin that bit to get so much out, but then you had the mangle in through it, you know, putting a mangle around. But it wasn't a turny one. It was one that went on his own, you know, electric one. But you go up the scales, and after, you know, you get a better one, and the twin tubs come in, and you have them, ooh, in that, out of that, job done, out of, and then you got a bloody long line down the back, oh, somebody go and light a fire, then, spoil it all for you. but there you are, that's the way it goes, isn't it? You know, life is like that. It's not straightforward.
So how was the new place heated? So the old High Street, that was coal fire?
We still had coal fire in the front room and the washing room, you know. But of course, it was more insulated than the other houses. So the heat sort of went through it a little bit more, you know. Because you had the front room and the living room then. And nothing was shut, so you had the doors open, so the heat was then just penetrating through the house, you know, which isn't so bad then. But as it, it was a lot better than that one down in High Street, I tell you. Well, I mean, you had your windows were better then. They got a bit better. Not double glazing or anything, but they got a bit better, didn't they, you know. You had the old metal frame ones, but the other one, the old wooden ones, you know, the... You have a bit of wind and a rattling, and the wind is blowing your curtains up all over the place. So it wasn't sort of nice, but then that's your childhood, isn't it? You know, you've got to grin and bear it and grow up as you are.
Is there anything else that you remember about the house, or how different it was from the first one?
Well, you had a lot more room in that house, I think. Our house, we had a little, as you see, coming through the back door, and then we had like a little, no, it's not an outhouse, what they call them, a little, oh. You were in the kitchen. Then you had the front room, the living room then, and the front room. But you had a little room that you could put stuff in. Whereas in the other house, everything was all, the old house, was sort of in through the door. You're in a, you know, just about in a room, little passage, you're in a room. Then you're in another little room, then you're in the kitchen. Nowhere to put anything, even your coats. Well, you could have put your coats in this little room. Or in the hall, you had a little piece in the passage, you hang your coats. But it was all over the place in every, you know, in the old houses. That's how they were built, wasn't it? You know, it was just for a... sort of, how could you say then? Trying to think of the words. they were just sort of knocked up for families with in the pits and different things at the time. I mean, could have been nothing else in the bull, was there, you know, really. It's all pits, like. I didn't have to go to the pit, but I thought, oh, just as well. More money there than anywhere else. But I didn't stay there long. I went to the pit, I think it was 15 and a half. Done all my training, you know. And I finished up, I left the bull pit then about, when I was about 18 and a half.
Okay.
Then I went a bit all over the place then, and painting, you name it, I done it. And I remember going down to this, when I went down to the college for the job, he said, Dan, have you done this? Have we done that? Have we done it? I said, look, I said, it's better to ask me what I haven't done. I said, I've tried just about everything. But I said, it's no good me saying, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, we're there all bloody day. He said, better for me to say, what haven't you done? And I'll tell him. isn't it? Because I don't know where I've been. As you say, all over the place, you know, I was painting with a one firm, no, Ford's in Swansea, down there painting in there, you know. And we'd do some dull things in them, bloody door. Fellow, the boss, he'd say, if it's not moving, paint it, right? So he put his hand on the top of the bloody, I painted over his hand, and he says, what did you do that for? I said, well, he said, you told me if it wasn't moving, paint it. I said, so I painted the bloody thing. So he said, if you fall off now, he said, this thing, he said, fetch that pipe in when you're coming down, he said. Oh, but, you know, it's nice to remember the old times when you've done these different dull things. But I say, oh, we've done a bit of everything. Butlins in Barry. All my brothers worked down there. We were a concrete gang down there. We'd done all that. The year after we finished there, there was a big place, what was it called? Beachcomber. Well, the year after we finished there, Beachcomber burnt down. Somebody had done something, they burnt it down. But yeah, we done all that.
Did you travel a lot then around for work?
Well, we went from Yellow. I bought a Ford Poplar car. Right, bought this little Ford Poplar car. Very dear at the time, 17.5 quid. But things weren't dear that in them times, like, isn't it? So we had this little five of us in a Ford Poplar. And my brother was a lunatic driving, you know. If everything flat down, you know, on the floor, down through the lanes and down to Barry. He had a fella with him, a fella followed us down there one day. He had a Jaguar, this fella. And my brother was like a lunatic going through the lanes. And of course, we're in the back, and the spring in the back of a Ford Poplar, it's not that way. It's that way across, so it rolls. So every time you went around the corner, we were banking in the back, you know, like a bloody motorbike, you know. So we go in there. When we got down there, this fella had a job keep up in him with this bloody Jaguar going down through the lanes. He said, what engine have you got in that? He said, well, he said, ordinary Ford. He said, they haven't. He said, he lifted it upon it. He could see it there. It was only a Ford Poplar engine. But it's the way you were driving, isn't it? Nuts he was.
Was that your first car?
That was the first car, yeah. That's the first car I had. The first car we had all together was the family was Citroen Light 15. That was a 1946 model, you know, with the things on the front, but long bonnet. Oh, that bloody thing was good. You had a long bonnet. Now the gearbox is right in the front of that one. So your linkage now, you know, it's on the dashboard, but it's all, you've got two links going down now, the full length of the car. She could be driving along now, and all of a sudden, and the gearbox is all locked up, you know. So you've got to stop now, get out, unlock it, back it, and away to go. And we had trouble with one gear, so we always was taught, you know, my cousin of ours was a mechanic, you know. He'd say, right, I'll show you once, you've got to do it yourself. So we said, right, this gearbox is gone. So he said, right, we'll have a look at that, see if we can fix it. So we got another gearbox from somewhere. So my brother, and we got to lift the engine out, lift the gearbox out on the floor. So my one brother, he said, we'll put this, he said, that's the one that's gone, change that one. Of course, he didn't look how we put it in, see how we took it out. And he put it in back to front. Right, now, if he'd put it in the right way, we'd add three forward gears and a reverse. But we ended up with three reverse gears and one forward. You could go like hell backwards. But not very fast backwards. Back out again, back in. Oh. But that's the way we were then. No garages. We had a Vauxhall Velox, one of them big the backs. Six-seater, you know, get six in that, because it's a big bench seat in the handle. One of them, and something was wrong, right, lift the gear, engine out, engine in, six-cylinder thing, you know. And we're all up on the road now. So you're standing there up on the road now, when you undo as many bolts as you can, a rope around it, and one standing on the dash, on the bonnet, outside, one this side, and then you up and out and put it on the floor. We done that on Christmas time 5 times. A fella came down the street, he said, what did you boys have for Christmas? He said, a box of bloody tools. But, you know, it's what you were shown how to do, and you've done it, didn't it, you know?
But did many people have cows at the time?
Well, there was a lot less than it was now. A lot less than it was now. And, well, you could park, put it this way, you could go up through Robert Street by there, mm-hmm. and there wasn't hardly anything on the road there. Now, there's parking everywhere now, isn't it? You know, it's a little bit out of hand, I think, with the old parking. If you haven't got 2 or 3 cars, you're not living like. And it's hard to try and think how easy it was to get about then to what it is now, you know. It's, you know. I remember doing one thing where we had a car and the engine, we bought this car and the engine, that was about 15 quid, that was. Oh, look, Austin 16 then. That's long bonnet again. Runner boards. Engine out. Sorted it out. Put it back in. Right. Couldn't get it started up at the house. He tightened it too tight. No torque around standing there. Tightened it. And my brother was like, oh, like bloody Popeye from here down. If he tightened it up, he would have jobbed and shifted. You know, you had a long starting handle, but it's long now, isn't it? Right, shove in, trying to start it up. The other brother was like a horse, like in a twist. He put a twist in the bloody starting handle, trying to start it. So he said, right, he said, give me a push to the top of the hill. Well, you know the hill going down, big hill. Right, down there. First hill, nothing. Second hill, which is the steepest one. Didn't hear nothing, all of a sudden, bang! Then it started up, innit? And he blew a bloody piece off the exhaust. But it went. But afterwards, when it ran in, you couldn't keep up with it after. It was a great car, you know? Yeah, I remember years ago, we'd been to the club, you know, on the bottom of the hill, the bomb. I come out of there, and my brother said, we'll jump in the car before drinking and driving, innit? We never drank a lot anyway, but before then, let's go up now, right? Fill the car up with people now. That was the last one. I had to stand on a bloody running board, arm through the window. And he's up, going up that hill like a bloody good one, you know, changing up the box. And he used to miss that bit on the top, you know, he flattened out. He missed that, he'd land the other side and away to go. Nuts, honestly. They were years ago.
How did you get round before the car?
Before the car, all the walking about, yeah. You weren't, well, nothing else, was it? We had the buses to go to Ponty. But most of what I, when I was a kid, we used to walk everywhere, you know. We used to fish and go fishing up the rivers and all sorts. But we never done much otherwise than that, like.
What about the trips to Barry?
Well, you'd have a trip with the gospel hall, you know, or the church or whatever, and they, of course, if that's only if we went to church or went to the gospel hall. But yeah, we used to go up, like I say, on the train up there. I've seen somebody now, and he had a photo of a diesel train in the station up there, you know. But I can remember that the old, what's the name train? The old steam train. But years before me, the train used to go up further again, see? It used to go up as far as the Cum.
Really?
Yeah, donkey's years. I mean, that's donkey's years ago before me. But they thought about me, I think. Well, the farmers and all that up there then, that was the only way. They didn't have a road then, did they? You know, it was only on the train. Like, so they'd get them down to the train and off. But that's donkey's years ago, that. That's way before me. I don't know much about that, apart from what I was told, you know.
Well, tell me more about the trains that you got on then. So was that...
Well, we only used them once in a while, you know. But I mean, like, it's like Ponty Station. Everything used to be working. All both sides of the station used to be working then. Now it's only one side up and down, and you know, until they change it again now. But, yeah, we used to, on times, you'd go off on a train because you couldn't afford it, could you? It's just, money was a little scarce. And
was it quite expensive, the train?
I can't actually remember how much it was on the trains, but I tell you where you might be able to find out that. If you go up to the doctors in Innisfil, they've got some pictures on the wall and they've got some tickets on the wall there. So that would give you, and they've got some photos of the trains and
so
whatever.
That's where the train station used to be.
Yeah, that's the old train, it's the doctors itself, yeah. But they have got bits and pieces on the wall in there, which you might, you know, might be all right for you, you know, with the tickets and that. But, yeah, so it's changed an awful lot, hasn't it?
So you've talked a bit about the sort of games that you'd play on the street, but what other forms of entertainment did you have?
Well, as you see...
Did you have a TV?
No, no, God, I was... I don't think we had a television till when was it? 50-something. Mm. It was, you know, when they came in. And then I think it was one person up the street that in. Mm. We'd end up going up the bloody street then in somebody else's house now, watching the telly. Mm. Something come on, you know. But as we got older then, you know, you had the television. You don't need them little small things, you know. You wanted one of them for each eye now. You wondered how you used to watch them, and, you know, I mean, he was smaller than that. And that's not very big, like, is it, you know? But we used to watch them, black and white, didn't it? One or two stations, what have we got now? One or two stations duplicated about a dozen times. and that's Freeview. No wonder they're giving it for free. Nah, there are.
So, yeah, just entertainment then.
To entertain yourself. You used to go play cowboys and Indians or whatever up the woods there, shooting bows and arrows at each other. Yeah, we used to get each other now and again. Slings, and if you were a cowboy, you had a sling with stones. Okay. Indian, bow and arrow. Well, we used to go up a place called Hidden Valley, up over the back, way up over the back there. And it was like a little valley, you know, on its own, you know. But we used to all play up there all bloody day. No problem at all. As long as you had somebody on one side and somebody on the other, we'd be away. We'd spend hours and hours and hours there. Or over the brook over here, build a pool, or up the Glogue, as they say. There was a place up there we used to build a pool across the, you know, down the river. One up there, and then New Road Pond then would be further down. But it was cold in them waters. Oh, not that I'm a swimmer, mind. But it was cold in them waters. We used to, you know, it's things you used to do and run about. Just playing, you know, something to do, you know. And nesting and all that, you know, bird nesting. Which, you know, is naughty now. But you didn't then. It was one, you know, something that you enjoy doing, like, you know.
What about when you went to work in the pit? That wasn't for very long.
That's the first time I went to the pit.
Right. Did you go back later?
I went back to the pit then in 1974. There was an advert on the telly. Come to Lady Windsor Colliery. Power loading and all this. And I thought, oh yeah, that'll do. Right. Went back to the pit. Last of the hand-cut faces. Oh, great, Dad. And of course, when you're last in, you have the worst stent, as they call them. So I had a 15-foot stent on a slope like that. And it was all solid rock. Solid stone it was. We used to drill it, fire it, and then you had to get it off then with your puncher, put your bars up and that. Awful lot of work that, when it's stone like that. But that's where I ended up, back in there. I did get to a different place after, which was tidy, you know, but just a lot of coal you're chucking out from them places when you think of it, you know. Like, if you normally have an 18-foot stent, you know, which is six metres, isn't it? And that's 6 metres by at least a metre in, and it could be 6 foot high. So when you think the amount of coal you're chucking out of there at one time, it's a lot of coal. And it wasn't that fantastic, the money, you know, it was all right, but it is hard work, fair play.
How long were you working there for?
I worked there for about, when I went back there, I was about 3-4 years, I think it was. And then I was on my way out. I'd worked an extra shift. And I was on my way out from work. And I don't know what the hell happened, but my foot went. This one here. And I had a job to stand on it. I was on my own. So it's hopping more than anything. I was a hell of a way from the pit, like. But I got back there, and then two fellas took me up the pit. We didn't even have a wheelchair up there then. He come over for me with a wheelbarrow. Wheeled me over the bloody ambulance room with a wheelbarrow. Foot sticking out. Well, if you've seen my foot, I thought something had got to be broken. My ankle was twisted like that, and there was a lump like that on my ankle. So he said, oh, you got to go to the hospital. So I said, go to the hospital tonight, in the middle of the night. I said, be there forever. So I managed to drive home from up a bit, somewhere or other. got down to where I was living then. I was down in Danacribin by there then. And I got down by there. My bloody foot was jumping like this on the chair. I'd got everything off and my foot was jumping. So my brother, my wife phoned the brother in the morning, took me down to the hospital. Done the ligaments in, and my ankle. But they wouldn't give in to it. No, no, we'll fix it, yeah. I was kicking a sandbag for about 6 months back and forth the hospital before they had it done. In the end, I said, look, I gotta do something, because they were strapping my foot up, and you're trying to walk now, and somewhere like this, and you just go, boom, and I'd be over. Umpteen times I nearly fell out on the road, you know, which would have been nasty if it was a bus coming. But as I say, I paid private then at the time to see a specialist, you know. And he said, no, he said, the ligaments, it's gone altogether, and there's a little bit of bone jumping into the joint. And he said, that's throwing you over, you know. And he said, the ligament's not strong enough to hold it. Even the elastic bandage wasn't holding it. They made me then a surgical boot. I don't know, you know, rather than do a tidy job, no, make him a surgical boot with a bit of bone up the side, you know, still going over. In the end, as I say, they sent me this doctor, he said, we can fix it, he said. And I said, well, how long it'll take? So I think it is about 2 weeks after I seen him. I said, don't give you a bang a nail through it and bend it over the other side as long as I don't go over. So he fixed it anyhow, about 6 months in plaster, but it came all right then. He said, he won't go over on that again. Mine, I've gone over on the other one, but not that one. So he done a good job. I think I should go back for the other one.
And you ended up working in the lamp room.
And I ended up then, I was, well, first of all, I started off, when I went up the pit, they had a control room up there. Which was computerized thing, you know. You had this bloody big computer in the one room, and you were sitting there now, and you got all everything. It's supposed to mean everything, but it wasn't. It was sort of after, you know. It's supposed to mean something on the cutter would show you where the cutter was, and but you ended up, you had to ask him where the cutter was, what they've done, what they haven't done, and then put it in. And then they'd know exactly, and then in different places. So I worked in there, then I was a spare hand in there for a while. I was doing all bloody sorts. I'd do three different shifts in the 1 week, you know, days, afternoons, nights. Then they thought, right, well, you've been a spare hand in there. Then they had the safety board, which is you checks to go down, checks to come up. Put him on there, right, and on that then, spare hand on there. Then spare hand in the lamp room. Oh, I thought, Christ, I'm fed up now, I'm here, there and everywhere. So in the end, when a job came up in the lamp room, I ended up, I was the last one in the lamp room, shutting the doors when we finished. Yeah, it's a sad old time, I enjoyed it up there. But, you know, the money wasn't great, like, when it surfaced, but...
You mean you were the last one when the...
Well, when that was the last shift.
Oh, the last shift.
The last shift that we worked then. I shut the gates, that was it then.
When the colliery shut?
Mm.
Okay, right. What was that like?
I remember when we were on strike, you know. Because I was doing different things. The union said to me, will you go into this one place, you're answering phone calls and the powerhouse, I think it was. A couple of days you had to pay so much in out of your wage. So I'd done that. And then, you know, you're doing that to keep the pit open. And you got donkeys then calling you scab and whatever. I mean, I was no scab, I was just what the union asked me to do, you know. The head of the union and the bully said, right, if you go in there now, just to keep it open. So, you try, but then, you know, it didn't work. She wanted to shut the pits. She had it in for the bloody miners at the time, and that was it. There was no way. Old Cargill was right. It's just he went about it the wrong way. That's the only thing. That is the only thing. You know, I seen him on something the other day, and he said, I've seen the notes. He said, I asked for the notes. You know, no way you can have him after 20, 30 years. And he said it proved I was right. But wrong time, you know. And what can you do about it? She wanted to, if you kill the biggest union, you could squash the rest, kind of. And that's what she'd done. It wasn't a case of there was no coal here, because there's enough coal in the bull pit by here for, I would say, about 500-600 years. There's plenty of coal in the valleys, plenty of coal in all these valleys. But she didn't want it. Get it from somewhere else. And as you know, the moment you're having stuff cheap from somewhere, the moment you've got to rely on that, up the price goes. We had the same thing with the bus troop in Innisfail, Clayton Jones, years ago. We had the red and white bus. We had another bus coming up and down the bull. He wanted to get in the bull, so he was charging cheaper, right? Oh, it'd be cheaper than them. Put them out of the way, didn't he? Then bang the pricing up, right? But people are dull. They don't see these things. Why they can't see them, I don't know. I'm not unique. But I'm seeing it, you know, and I'm thinking, why are they so dull, you know? It's like this place. We were a sheltered accommodation. That's what we were called, right? Well, I think it was about a year or so ago they came around with this thing now. Can you think of a different name that we can use for a sheltered accommodation? They asked me, I said, no, don't want to know. The reason why you don't want to know is you changed the name from a sheltered accommodation. You've changed everything now. You've changed everything from what it was, from what it had to run under. Right. So we're something different now. So we can do what we want to do now. Why can't people see these things, you know? It's not hard, is it, you know? But they were.
So what was the village like after Lady
Windmill shut? Well, you've got to keep going, haven't it? It's just that you had to travel through there then to try and find a job, you know, and different things. When I finished up here, I thought, I was in my 40s then, and I thought, oh, I'm never going to get a job now. And then I heard this University of Glamorgan and was taking on people. So I thought, right, let's go down and see him. So there were about 12 of us went down all together, not from the municipal, but 12 all together for this job. So we went down there. There was, I think I was about 46, 47, something like that. And my mate, the fella that they had the job with, he was 10 years older than me. But he went through all these youngsters, and he ended up, me and the old fella is the ones he kept. So I said, well, why did you keep him? He said, look, he said, you two are old enough, he said, you're not going to run about and go. He said, you're going to keep hold of the job. The other ones, he said, they're young, they can go here, there, everywhere, and find it. And that's what happened. I stayed there until I had to finish, you know. I think it was about 16 years I was there, yeah. Yeah, I started off as a labourer, then I was a labourer driver. A bit of all sorts running about, and then I ended up, then I was a postman. And the best job I enjoyed was a postman. It's hard work, but it was good, you know. And then the nurse said, she said, you've got to finish. I said, oh, God. Just when you get something nice, and I don't know. Always when something nice happens, you've got to finish. And I thought to myself, well, that's it. It's going to drive me nuts, because I'm on the go all the time, you know. And I found then, when I finished work, I don't know how I managed to keep working, because I seem to be doing more when I've finished work than I was when I seem to be doing everything. It's like now, you know, I get up, I come over here in the morning, I would have saw in the morning, nearly every week, every day. But Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday then, in the afternoon, I'd have my dinner and I'd go down and pick the boys up off the bus then, my grandsons, and look after them for 3 days a week. So I had them for a fortnight last time. But they're as good as gold, fair play to them, you know. I said, he was talking to me last night, the little, and he's only 7. So he said something to me, I said, what? So he said it again. I said, what? I said, I think I'm going deaf. He said, you don't want a urinate bump, he said. He said, why would you want one of them? I said, he said, where are you going to get one from? He said, oh, I said, I can send off on one of them. I said, they're as good as the ones you get down in Specsavers, I said. I said, I'll send off on eBay. And of course, he's on his little thing, so he's happy then.
Did you want to ask anything?
Just one question I wanted to ask you. You said you played a lot, obviously, up at the Glog.
Up the Glog and all up around there, you know, and then the Ferns.
What about when Lady Windsor was open, you had all the spoil tips and so on. Has it changed a lot, do you think?
It's a hell of a lot. The landscape has changed a lot since then, when they grassed it all over, you know. It was looking quite rough, and you know, going up to the towards the top of the mountain, hell of a difference to what it was. Okay. Hell of a difference to what it was. I mean, we never played over that very much, unless we went up to what they call the Rock of Allah, you know, that little outcrop. That's what they used to call the Rock of Allah. We used to go up there, but there's a hell of a long lot of steps to go up that. But we never went up there much. It was mostly this side. And I'd be up the Bull or with my friends down up the woods up over here, you know, in the Ferns. You make pretty big dens and all sorts, you know. But as you say, it's changed. That side up there has changed tremendously, you know.
How has it changed?
Well, it was black and horrible looking, you know. Now you've got a bit of grass there now, when they're not scooting up and down with their bikes and churning it up, like, you know. But, you know, that's kids, isn't it? You can't stop them. You try, but you can't.
I just want to pick up on something that you said earlier. Because you said, did you say you were the last one to shut the gate at the...
Well, when my shift finished, I think it was the last shift of that week. Yeah, and yeah, that was it then. You know, I was on, I think it was afternoon shift. And when I finished then, about 8 or 9 o'clock. No, it wasn't. It was later than that. It was 10 o'clock in the night, yeah. When we shut the gates, that was it then. It was only them when somebody else came in then and squared it all up then. to get rid of all the stuff out of there, you know, and different things. But though they left a lot of stuff down underground. That's how they lost money in these places, you know, in, like the pits, you know. They said the money, the pits weren't paying. Well, you can't make them pay if you overload them. Nothing will work if you overload it, you know. I remember the bull pit years ago when I was a, youngster. You had a manager. You had under manager, right? You had pit overman, right? The time they finished up with Maggie Thatcher and all them, they were shut this pit. They sent people there. So you had a manager. You had a deputy manager. You had a deputy manager. You had under manager. You had a deputy under manager. You had a deputy under manager, right? Now them all on big money, right? Then you had the overman, right? A pit overman. Then you had another pit overman. Then you had up on top of the pit. Then you had the mechanic, right? The top mechanic, deputy mechanic, deputy mechanic, the electrician, the big electrician boss, then the deputy electrician, then the deputy. Well, you imagine all that money, you know, plus you put in 60 or 70 men underground. How are you going to account for that? There's no way you could do that in a factory, there might be a pit. So you've lost all that money, it's gone out of everywhere. And you've done it yourself. The pit was paying before you done that. Even though it was like it was costing, say, £29 a ton. It was still cheaper than it is now getting from abroad. How they reckon that they could get a ton of coal from abroad and shipped over to this country for less than £29 baffles me. It really did. But that's... They wanted to do what they wanted to do, and that was it. That's why it went down the tubes, you know. Unfortunately. But look what happened with the Tower Colliery. They bought their own. They bought their own pit up there. The a conglomerate of the miners, they spent their redundancies, and they bought the colliery. They went on for, I think it was 20 years after. And according to her, no coal there. If there's no coal there, how do you get 20 years more coal out of it? You know, it's only just shut now, I think.
Right, well, I think we've taken up for a lot of your time already, but just one last final thing that I want to say is
obviously
we've asked you questions, but is there anything that we haven't asked you to talk about that you feel you should tell us?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Okay. That's fine. Or have you got any questions for us?
No. No, I'm all right, love.
No?
Okay.
All right, well, I'll turn this on.
And as I said, like I said, you know, she was saying about tickets, you know, how much a ticket was.